Have you taught using book clubs or literature circles before? Or maybe you've avoided it because it seems like too much work to track down all the books and to manage all of the different groups. And do you assign roles, or do you just kind of let the conversations flow? And what's the whole purpose? What are students learning through a book club or a literature circle unit? I am going to answer all of those questions and more in this episode, where I share my very best tips for managing book clubs, also known as literature circles. Welcome to the Workshop Teacher Podcast, a podcast for teachers who are interested in trying workshop in their classrooms and teachers who are obsessed with it, like me. Before we start, though, I really need to give a shout out to one of you amazing teachers who has taken time out of your very busy schedule to rate this podcast. Thank you so much. This rating, the title is called Inspiring, and it's from Baga Deuce Mom. Baga Deuce Mom says, "I teach high school English in the resource room using a workshop model. This podcast always has fresh new ideas and encouragement to keep me going." Thank you so much, Baga Deuce Mom. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, for your very, very kind review. I really, really appreciate it. And you know what I've noticed? I've noticed a trend in these reviews. I've noticed a lot of you saying things like, "You're helping me feel less restricted, and I feel encouraged by you, and I feel inspired by you and excited by you." And I just thank you, because I am excited, and I do believe that you deserve encouragement, and that is, like, all teachers deserve a giant hug for what they do, seriously. And I am just so honored to be in your ear, giving you the encouragement that can you hear it in my voice? You deserve it. You deserve it. You are enough. You are beautiful. You are amazing. You need to give yourself a hug, or just, like, I don't even know. You need someone in your life to hug you for everything you do. So right now I'm giving you a virtual hug. Okay, let's get this party started. I have so many tips to share with you, so I hope you can stick around for the whole episode to get all of this goodness. I feel like I have mastered the art of book clubs, and I want to share this art. It is an art with you. I think a lot of trial and error, a lot of research and reading of professional development books, and did I say trial and error and mistakes, and just lots of issues and frustration, all of that has added up to this. So yeah, get comfortable. Let's get started. And okay, one more thing. Before I start, I just want to tell you that all of the materials that I talk about, everything I talk about, is all provided for you in Workshop Teacher Membership. And Workshop Teacher Membership is opening up again this Sunday. So you should definitely join if you've been thinking about it. January 26th, and guess what unit's coming out on February 1st? The book club unit. And it's not only a book club unit, it's a unit to teach students how to discuss books in a book club, and also how to support them, each other, and how to write a theme essay about their book. So it's really two units in one. So I just want to make sure you know that Workshop Teacher Membership is opening up again January 26th, 2020, and it closes January 31st. So it's only open for a very small window of time. Why, you ask? Because I need to support all the new members that are coming in. And it's just a lot of work. I'm a full-time teacher. Plus, I run a membership program where I support hardworking teachers that deserve really easy to follow, engaging lessons that are editable. That is my mission in life. Well, maybe not life, but like my career. Okay. My mission in life is to live in the present, if you're wondering. All right, seriously though, let's get to this. Let's get to this stuff. So my first tip about for managing a book club unit is make sure that the books that your students, that you choose for your students to read in book clubs, are at or below their reading level, and that they, and there's a Lexile website. Like if you just search Lexile, what's the Lexile of Charlotte's Web? This really awesome website will come up and it'll tell you the Lexile level of pretty much every book out there. And so I just, it's so important that you find out what the Lexile level is, because they're, the students are in book clubs and a lot of their reading is independent. And yes, they can ask each other for help, which is really one of the most beautiful things about book clubs. And what I really emphasize in a book club unit is supporting each other. But also I think, you know, if you're trying to push classics onto your students, they're not going to be very happy about it. And those are, they're just too advanced and they require support from you. And when your students are all reading different books, it's hard to support students understanding all those different books. I also recommend that you read all of the books because you want them to be interesting. You want them to be really engaging. The best genre is YA, young adult literature. And I have in the book club unit that's coming out, I have a huge list of my favorite books by grade level. So there's so many good engaging books out there for middle school teachers. And if you're not, you know, reading, if you're not reading those books, you should be, or you should be looking at blog posts about those books, because yeah, but stick to YA because YA is just really, really engaging for students. So those are two tips. Let's keep going. Okay, but what if you just, you don't have high quality, interesting books that are at your students' Lexile level? Donors Choose is awesome. Especially if you teach in a community where the parents are really wanting to help the school, and getting that link out through an email to the parents, getting that link out to your family, to your social media. I have completed, I think, 6 or 7 Donors Choose projects. I've gotten everything from iPads to books to yoga mats funded through Donors Choose. Also, just libraries have book sales all the time, and you can get really cheap books through libraries. But the problem with book club books is you need copies for your students. You need copies for everyone. And so if it's hard for you to find good quality books for your students, and I understand if you're teaching in a school that just doesn't have the resources, another option is short stories. And so I have a big list of short stories that you could also choose for students to read in clubs, to read and analyze and then write a theme essay paper on together and to discuss together. And that is, like I said, book clubs or short story clubs are just, they're just a great way to build community and to help students support each other in understanding and analyzing literature. So think about maybe a short story unit before a book club unit. and then and giving students choices about which short story they're going to read, and then basically organizing your students based on their choices and making groups based on the stories they're most interested in reading. And maybe I'll do another episode. Yeah, you know what? I'm just deciding in this moment right now. I feel like you're probably all like, well, what books? What short stories? Tell us, Amanda, tell us. I will in the next episode, okay? I will plan on it. I'll plan on telling you all about my favorite books to do book club units on and my favorite short stories, okay? Plan on it. Promise, I promise you. But like right now, that would make this episode super, super long. So I'm just focusing on best tips for managing a book club unit. All right. The next tip that I have for you is your unit needs a focus. It needs some sort of goal. You need an end result. Like, what is the purpose of reading these books with a small group? And in my opinion, the purpose, the main goal of a unit like this is for students to have meaningful discussions, right? Like, that's what book clubs do. You could also have students write a literary essay or a theme essay. And this doesn't have to be anything fancy. It could be like they finish the book, they've discussed it throughout the unit. And at the end, you just one day, you just say, here's an example of a theme essay about another book. And I provide examples and membership that I write myself of, you know, the type of writing I want my students to do, and then have students just in one day write an essay, you know, one class period, just real quick, just to get the experience. Short-term writing is a good thing, and it's in the Common Core standards. Okay, so focus, I feel like the focus should be on having meaningful discussions. Now, I have a lot of experience micromanaging these discussions with roles. In my experience, roles get in the way, like assigning students as the timer and the, I don't know what the roles are anymore. It's been so long since I've assigned students roles during a discussion. The person who asks the questions, the person who makes sure everyone is included in the discussion. I feel like that stuff gets in the way and it confuses kids. And it just, it takes away from the book and talking about what they really want to talk about. Kids know how to talk about stuff together. They do it all the time at lunch, don't they? And after school and before school, before the bell rings and on weekends, they talk about Netflix shows. And I say this to my students, I want you to talk about this book like it is the latest, greatest Netflix show. That's how I want you to talk about this book. And there are ways to organize this so that it is a little bit structured, so they're just not, it's not like a free-for-all and they're just sitting there staring at each other and like we're done kind of thing. We talked and I talked to students about how if you don't talk the whole time, then your discussion might not have been very deep and meaningful, and our goal is to try and get it into get some deep meaningful discussions going. And actually I have videos of my students discussing All Summer in a Day, which is a pretty, not All Summer in a Day, what is the book? Not, that's a short story. That's a great short story, by the way, for students to discuss and to talk about different themes and things like that. All the Light We Cannot See, which that's a very advanced book for eighth graders to read, but I teach at a pretty high achieving school and there were certain students that could handle it. And on my YouTube channel, I'm actually planning on making that video public. I did get permission from their parents and from the students. I just haven't made it public yet, but I am about to. So that's something to look forward to. But it's just like having students be able to see an example of a meaningful discussion can also be really, really powerful. So maybe doing fishbowl discussions and coaching students through like what makes a meaningful discussion. And so and thinking about discussions, So this is how you might manage it. Before the discussion day, you're going to teach students the difference between open and closed questions and the importance of both. So closed questions are like quiz questions, is what I tell my students. Quiz questions, just checking for understanding, making sure everyone is getting it and no one's confused. And sometimes when you ask these questions, you'll realize, oh wait, your group members maybe disagree about something. And so it can lead to more discussion too, these closed questions. And then open questions, they're a little harder to learn how to create and to write. And so I like to teach my students really early on the difference between open and closed questions so that as they're reading, all they're doing is writing questions that they want to bring up in their book club group, and they're putting them on post-its, and they're so that they're preparing for that discussion. Like, the purpose of them reading is to bring up these questions to their group and talk about these questions with their group. Also, during a book club unit, you really want to give your students time in class to read the book. I think that's really important because middle school students, they have math, they have science, they have all these other classes that they're it can get overwhelming. It really can. So I really like to make sure to build in reading time in my class. And that reading time is so vital for you to check in with the students that you know are maybe falling behind or maybe not understanding. Yes, this might seem unconventional, but giving these kids audio versions, go on YouTube, look up if there's a teacher reading a book online, the book that your student's book club is. So, for example, one book that's read online is Chains. I don't think that's actually legal to like read whole books on YouTube, but they're out there. And students that just have a really hard time reading, and there are students that have a hard time reading, they hate it, it's really like grueling for them, you can provide these YouTube videos, you can provide spark notes for them, and you can even help summarize parts of the book and help them understand during the reading days when you're kind of conferencing with students. So they're prepared for you to come up to them and just ask them, how's it going? What part are you on? Do you have any questions? Just checking in. So that building in those reading days, and then one discussion day a week. And before that discussion day, make sure students have written questions that they want to bring up to the group, closed and open questions. Let's talk about also, so we just talked about students who are kind of falling behind. What do you do when a student hasn't read the pages that they're supposed to read by the discussion day? You know, like students are supposed to read to a specific page in order to discuss, what do you do? So one thing I do is I'm really open about this with my class. I just say, you know what, if you're behind, I don't want you to pretend and be all awkward during the discussion. Okay. Just read during the discussion. This is your time to read. The penalty is it's a natural consequence. They don't get to participate with their group. I don't take points from them because of this. I don't embarrass them. I don't make them feel bad for being behind. I just say, hey, you can use this time to read now. Lucky you, you get this extra time to read. And they just don't participate in the discussion. If you notice a lot of kids are behind, then maybe your students, you can just offer an extra reading day to your whole class. And then what about students who read ahead? I am in the camp of teachers, and there is a growing camp of teachers that believe that we should allow students to read ahead. Those students who want to read the whole book in a week, let them go for it. And here is how I kind of avoid the spoilers. And again, I talk to my students about all of this. I teach many lessons about this. I say, okay, you know, on a reading day, I'll say, let's talk about spoilers. Let's talk about what it feels like when someone tells you the end of a movie or the end of a book. Like, some kids don't mind, some kids do. And I say, you know what? I do mind. I don't like people telling me what happens at the end. I think it's kind of mean. And some kids say, oh, I don't care. I like to know what happens at the end. And it makes me enjoy the story more because I'm thinking about the end and like, how does it all unfold and end up at that place? And so everyone has their own opinion about spoilers. And I allow all opinions. But I say, you know, in this class, like during the discussions, I would prefer you not provide spoilers during discussions. And so to avoid that, what I do is on discussions days, I say, okay, everyone, we're going to spend the first 10 minutes of class before our discussion skimming. If you've read ahead, I want you to skim the pages your group decided to discuss today. And also, this is a side note, I always create a calendar for my students during a book club unit, and they have to, as a group, decide what pages they're going to read to by the discussion days. So on the calendar, I'll put discussion day, and usually it's Fridays. So like if it's a 4-week unit, there's 4 discussion days, and I say, okay, break the book up into quarters and figure out, you know, what pages you need to be to by each discussion day. And I say, you're free to read ahead, but in that 10 minutes, you need to skim those pages and remind yourself of what your group is going to be talking about. Those 10 minutes are also a great opportunity for students to write any questions, closed questions, open questions. And again, like on your first discussion day, I would fishbowl it. And a fishbowl is when you have a small group of students just discuss in front of the whole class and you coach them on the discussion. I'm going to read to you, actually, I created this poster for my members, and I'm going to read to you what's on that poster right now. So it's a poster and it says basic and advanced discussion skills. And I post this up for students because I want them to know, like, this is what I'm looking for during your discussions. And I have a clipboard and I tell my students, do not pay any attention to me. I am a fly on the wall. I am not here to join your discussion. I'm just observing you and I'm just taking notes and I'm listening and things like that. And so basic discussion skills are speak one at a time, make eye contact with the person speaking, stay on task, stay focused on the book, speak loud enough for the group to hear, but not too loud so the whole class can hear. And then the advanced discussion skills are reread parts of the book to analyze evidence, ask follow-up questions of each other, repeat back what you heard someone else say, stick to one topic for as long as you can. Because a lot of times students will jump from one question to another, and it's like, even with open questions, it's hard for students to stick to it, and they're like, oh, well, this question's dead, we answered it, but they don't realize that actually there are other opinions, there are other ways that we can answer this. That's why it's an open question, because there's not one right answer. There's many answers, it's just you haven't taken the time to investigate it further. And a lot of times students need help with you modeling, like with a good open question, looking back at the text and thinking about the different angles to the answer to that question, like modeling that process in front of your students can be really, really powerful. Okay, I think that is all of my tips. So I hope this has been helpful. I'm just looking over my notes right now. And yeah, I think that's it. There's a lot more that I could probably talk about, like maybe giving you an example of an open question and all the different elements to that question. But I'm just gonna save that for membership. You should join my membership because I provide all sorts of good stuff, good questions, examples, posters, editable tool. I mean, everything's editable. The posters aren't because they have pictures that come from a place that I have to pay and they're commercially licensed to me. I don't know why I'm going into all this detail. I don't know. You stuck around to the end, so sometimes I like to share some weird behind the scenes things of Amanda right now. But yeah, so the posters aren't editable because I have to protect them. But anyway, that is totally irrelevant to book clubs. I hope this was helpful. If it was, you should go write a review for the podcast on iTunes. Give it 5 stars. Share it with a teacher friend. Okay, I will be back next week to talk about my favorite book club books and my favorite short stories to teach if you don't have that availability of book club books at your school. I'll see you then. Actually, you'll hear me then. How about that? Okay, bye-bye.